The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gamers Workshop, the show where we... Sorry, I don't know what that was. There's a cough button.
It's going to be the yawn button this episode. All
right. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gamers Workshop, the show where we review the creative elements in your favorite games. And today's episode is chosen by myself, Anch. We are doing Hollow Knight. Now, just to preface this, Hollow Knight, the other members, Stuart, you haven't heard of much about Hollow Knight, right? Amrit?
Like a bit.
A bit, but not.
I have a bit of knowledge about the game, like, you know, based off of, like, I don't know, friends. Mm-hmm. But, like, overall, I've never played it. But I did, like, you know, watch a few videos. But, yeah, that's, like, basically it.
And then David?
I've never played it. I kind of just know about it because of you.
And you know what's interesting? Apparently, the game is super popular in terms of the indie game genre. When I played it, I personally loved it because I played it 2 years ago. I loved it because there wasn't, like, for example, in Fortnite, right? The only way to really sense progression is to see your skill, like, your arena level or your competitive level increase or your skill level, right? But Hollow Knight is literally a story game where you start off pretty weak, but you slowly gain powers and gain skills, and then you could fight bigger and stronger bosses. It sounds like a simple concept, but to me, that's like one of my favorite genres. So today, let's discuss why this game is so popular. And it actually has Hollow Knight Silksong, which just released as well. So that speaks a lot about how people have loved it and how even the developers, like, how much effort they've put into this game and this franchise. So my first question is, when you heard me talk about how it's like a sort of an adventure game that you level up, it's not like Fortnite where you kind of start from zero every single time. What type of games you think of when I talk about, like, progression and story-based?
God of War, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Oof. I'm going to say Batman Arkham Knight. And also, like, you know, going back to, like, Fortnite saved the world because it's, like, about powering up and, like, yeah, just stuff like that.
I'm going to say Cuphead.
Cuphead,
yeah. Even though it starts off hard, gets harder. And Elden Ring.
It's interesting that all those games that you've mentioned are, like, pretty popular games, right? So why do you think that this sort of start off, you know, weaker and then progress to, like, become super strong is so popular?
Well, I think if you started off super strong, the game wouldn't really be super fun. I feel like it's better, like, when you start off, like, weak, and then as you put in work, you get better. It's more rewarding for players.
Definitely. I agree with the reward aspect because, like, for example, even in a lot of things, when you have to work for the skill or for an item or something, right, it makes the game feel, or it just makes doing that feel much more engaging. For example, a lot of the games that I played were like Splatoon or even Mario. You don't really get stronger. You may get access to, like, for at least in Splatoon, you may get access to new weapons, but it's not like you're really leveling up a character that much. So, like, when I finish playing, I don't really feel, like, too accomplished, unless I played really well, of course. But aside from that, that's what really draws me into these type of games, where it's, like, I could play for an hour and be, like, okay, I got, like, this, I upgraded my sword, you know?
I mean, I'd say it, like, definitely gives the player a incentive to keep playing because it's, like, obviously, I don't know, because it's, like, you know, as you said, it's, like, more engaging and, yeah, so, yeah, it's, like, definitely a incentive for the player to actually keep going in the actual, like, you know, game, right? So,
yeah, I think for story games especially, there has to be some big incentive to keep playing because, unlike, you know, online, you know, multiplayer games, like, you could play that same game for years and, you know, there's updates and new stuff. But for a lot of story games, I mean, maybe they'll add, like, DLC later on, but it's, like, sort of what you get, you know, is what you get. Like, And after that, you know, if you max everything out, you know, there's not much left to do. So they want to give you a lot so that you have an incentive to play the game and replay the game.
It's also like sort of a cutoff point, because as soon as you like get everything, there isn't really much to do, which really sets up well for another game, like another release or, you know, another part of that franchise. Whereas, for example, Fortnite, like, are they going to make a Fortnite 2?
No.
Probably not, right?
They don't need to.
Because they are just going to update their base game. But the problem with that, at least for, especially for small developers who only have such a limited budget, is that making a game so replayable, like Fortnite, for example, takes a lot of money. And also, for like certain players like myself, like it loses its magic at a certain point, especially if you keep playing it over and over and over. Whereas for Hollow Knight, like when I finished it, like that was it, the game was done, right? But then when Silksong came out, I was so excited for that, because it kind of there's a sort of scarcity in how many hours you can put into the game. Versus Fortnite, you could put as many as you want, because there is there's always something to do. But when there's nothing to do, it kind of gives you that time to wait and get excited for, okay, is something happening next? Is there a mod that's releasing? Is there some sort of challenge that I could do? Rather than just waiting, oh, here's the next update.
That's how I felt about, like, the Spider-Man games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's why there was, like, so much, like, hype and anticipation, like, behind each one. Because, like, you know, it would like set up a sequel, and then like the sequel would come years later, and like a lot of people, you know, enjoyed those games.
Especially if the story is good, yeah, too, right? And if it ends on a cliffhanger, like you got YouTubers theorizing, all right, what's gonna happen in the next game, boys? Like, this is the context clues we got in this base game. So there's content in that. And then there's also content in actually playing the game. And then there's content in, you know, watching other people play the game. How did they do it? Are there Easter eggs? So I think especially the story in Hollow Knight is pretty long to kind of grasp. Like, I didn't, to be honest, like, I'm the wrong guy to talk about a story too, because like for all the cutscenes, not the cutscenes, but the dialogue, I just spam A. Like, I'm trying to get to the fight, bro.
And this is your favorite game and you skip all the dialogue, bro?
Okay, like, come on, bro. You when we talked about Red Dead Redemption 2 and you heard about how surprised I was when you listened to the characters talk, like, I don't know, man. I just want to get into the fight. But like,
I feel that I'm
kind of like a action first, and then after, if I really like the game, which I did for this, then I'll watch someone summarize the story for me instead.
There you go. I mean, honestly, everyone is like different, right? So it's like everyone, like, you know, wants it and their like own, like, you know, way. So there you go.
It really depends too, because if there's no voice acting for the words, I feel less incentivized to listen to them talk or even read it myself. But like, for example, this is a strange example, but in Wizard 101 there was voice acting, and like I would actually listen to the characters talk, because they had like such a, it wasn't just some regular voice, it was like a distinct voice, you know, because it's a wizard time. There are professor wizards and all that stuff. The fact that if I skipped the dialogue, I wouldn't know what to do. Which, to be fair, that happened in Hollow Knight, but I dealt with it. So, yeah, I think that honestly is a pretty good point, that dialogue can be a really good, cool, creative element if it's done right and if it's done well. Like, if it's well-written and well-voice-acted. Mm-hmm. Or if it's just well-written enough for me to want to read it. That could add extra playing time. It could add, like, for example, if you see a theory, you can engage with that. Be like, actually, I saw that on this specific dialogue, you know, he said this thing. So it gives the community a whole lot more to work with together.
Yeah, and it also makes you buy more games in, like, that same franchise, right? So in a way, it's a good marketing strategy, like, you know, from these, you know, gaming companies, right? So yeah, definitely 100%.
Since these games are so, like, you can mass produce them because it's just like a software, right? It's not like a product where you have to think of manufacturing costs, which you do, but like if you sell enough copies, then you're going to make money.
Yeah.
Right. So having people, like, I guess having a big community of people that are like diehard fans, they'll buy the merchandise, like they'll even buy the musical score, or they'll spread the message to other people. Having a place for those hardcore fans to really engage with each other, that is a really powerful strategy. And that's exactly why Hollow Knight was such a success in terms of money, but also in terms of popularity, especially for an indie game. Indie games usually are like, aside from like Five Nights at Freddy's, right? They're usually, you play it once and it's just kind of a game that you're, I guess, burning time off of. But then there are certain indie games like Five Nights at Freddy's or Hollow Knight that can, maybe they start out as an indie game, but they can keep getting bigger and better because one, their story is good, or two, the community, especially for Five Nights at Freddy's, the community was like crazy for that game, right? And you saw what happened to it. It went absolutely viral. One thing, you have anything to say, Stuart?
Call me out. I'm enjoying listening.
Okay. One thing I'm going to talk about now is the gameplay mechanics. Now, you guys have not played the game, but I have like 80 hours in the game, right?
Damn.
It's a lot. Definitely grinder, nowhere near my Fortnite hours. Let's not talk about those Fortnite hours. I could have probably mastered another skill with that. But for Hollow Knight, one thing I really liked in terms of battles, like boss battles, is that you know how in a movie all the sound effects are like in sync with the visuals, right? So with the battle, there's one of the battles that I think is the best is Nightmare King Grimm. And the music in that battle, basically, it's in line with how the attacks go. So it's like, it's almost like a dance where each beat is like another attack. Right, there's certain times where it's like a violin and now he's shooting spikes from the floors, or there's this, you know, strong trumpet and he's shooting fire from the floor, like he's dashing at you, right? So it telegraphs these attacks along with the animation. It's not like a battle that has a generic theme. Many of the major boss battles have their own composed musical score that goes with the fight so that it feels cinematic almost. Then that combined with the moveset. So the moveset in Hollow Knight is like, I think it's pretty good for how limited it actually is. You can like dash. There is certain charms. So they're like special abilities that you can put onto your character, but you can only put a certain amount. So you can come up with different builds. Again, as we talked about in multiple episodes before, giving the player a choice on how to play the game. That plus there are like other abilities. So there's like this aerial attack, there's like this ground pound slam, and there's this cool skill called like a nail art, which is like a sort of sword skill where you have to charge it up and then use it, and there's three. So it gives a limited but wide moveset for people to experiment with. Some people might like using those big heavy attacks rather than just trying to poke him with light attacks. And it depends on what boss you're versing too. So the main takeaway here is that these type of, like, I guess these fights, these important fights, if they're, you could think of them like a movie almost, where it's like, we got the musical score to telegraph the fight. We have the animation to kind of show the personality of the boss, of just the world. And then we also have the moveset. Now, does the moveset complement the boss's moveset, or does it conflict with it? Does it make it really awkward to fight him? That's why fighting Nightmare King Grimm was like my favorite fight, because the moveset just perfectly complements each other. He's more of a fast type, like bam, bam, bam. And then you can choose like two ways. You could try to choose to get like nice big heavy attacks on him when he has those openings, or you could try to go blow for blow with him, where he's like, He dashes at you, you jump over him, hit him with like a ground pound, stuff like that.
Is that the final like boss like in that like game, or is like, or like, or
it's
like,
one is of the final.
Okay, got you.
There's like a couple big bosses. That's like one of the biggest ones.
The biggest ones, okay.
Yeah.
I think what you mentioned about like the music like being in sync with the attacks, I think that's pretty cool. I haven't really seen that much in other games, if at all. So that intrigues me.
And it really fits that scene because he's like, in like his regular form, he says like, all right, let's have a dance. And then the battle starts. So it's almost like a musical battle. You know what I mean?
That's so cool.
So I think like, I haven't seen that much in games, which is crazy to think about because of how well it works. But it's also probably really expensive. But then again, this was an indie, like this game was made by like 3 or 4 people. So I'm pretty sure big game companies could afford to make that other than just having a traditional classic dramatic backdrop where it's like dun 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 dun. It feels like there's more personality into the game, and it makes especially those big moments more memorable because you could feel the effort that's put into it. Speaking of effort, Hollow Knight Silk Song. So that was their second game. It just got released. I played about for an hour, and even though I haven't unlocked the full skill set, I've seen a couple videos, and again, it seems really interesting. They use like, so what's interesting is that you're not playing as the same character, the same main character. You're using a different character, and what comes with different characters are a different moveset. So this moveset is more like, it's more practical. The first character was like this powerful beast almost, right? In terms of a moveset. But the second character was like Hornet, right? She's more of a like elegant ballerina type fighting style where it's more like acrobatics. You might not do as much damage, but you can do more combos or you can craft these tools and use them as well. So I felt like I lagged in real life when I said that. Did anyone hear that?
I didn't notice anything.
You didn't notice anything?
No, bro.
Maybe my system just corrupted or something.
No, you're good, bro.
So, yeah, I find it really interesting when you could take an existing franchise and you don't have to just copy and paste a template on it. I know last week we were talking about Rockstar and like their kind of formula. And although it's not, we obviously know they're super successful, right? There's no question about it. But what I do like seeing is when you're able to flip the script, do something new. Right. That's why I like Nintendo so much, because they actually they experiment, they try these new things. Other than, you know, when PlayStation or Xbox comes up with something new, it's just a stronger version of the thing prior most of the times. I'm not too knowledgeable about that. But for example, Nintendo, we got the Wii and then we got the Wii U. The Wii U may not have done well, but then it sets the stage for the Switch. Right. And the Switch did really well. And like there's these new ways to play games that we previously couldn't think of, or that maybe people were too scared to think of. So, and that how that relates to Silk Song is that like making a new moveset in the same world, it's like, okay, how will that character interact with the other existing enemies in the game, right? Will their moveset again conflict with bosses or complement the bosses, right? Like you guys have played Elden Ring, right?
I have not.
You have not?
I have not.
You have not?
I unfortunately don't own a Xbox, but...
So, Stuart, based on what I said, like, does Elden Ring do any of that?
Yeah, it definitely does. Uh-huh. The music will change when the boss, like, upgrades, changes forms, or does a special move, I guess. One that comes to mind is, like, Godrick the Grafted. Like... the music just ramps up completely when he turns his hand into a dragon and it just breathes fire on you.
Speaking of music still, are there any other games that you've played that use the same type of music to telegraph attacks?
Cuphead.
That's right. I have played Cuphead before, but it was a while ago.
The music is so good.
Music's really good. And then again, it fits the theme of the world as well. That's another thing. Good calls. Good call, Stuart. Basically, the style of the game, in terms of art style, right, and like world building, that directly influences how each creative element will be used. So, for example, in Cuphead, it's more like, you know, old animation style music, old animation style animation, story, that type of stuff, right? But in Hollow Knight, it's more, it really isn't that prominent. Like the Hollow Knight art style is, I feel like pretty prominent, but it isn't something that is reflected too much in the music. But then again, it's also hard to find a balance between, okay, it's easy for Cuphead to choose the music because it's based on like a style that's already happened. But for Hollow Knight, I personally love the music. It could probably possibly even become more distinct to their art style rather than just being some, I guess, it's not generic, but it's like simple. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you think of like a somber tune, uses violins, right? So maybe being a little bit more innovative or really trying to cement that world building and then using music to do that as well. That's it for today's episode, guys. Thank you for listening to my special where I talk about Hollow Knight, the game that I have 80 hours in. So next week we have Stuart again. Stuart, what game are you thinking of?
We're going to be talking about the game I have over 1,100 hours on, Overwatch.
Oh, Overwatch. I'm going to have a lot to say about that.
And do we have any special guests?
Maybe.
Possibly. All right. So stay tuned for the next episode, guys. Today's episode was Hollow Knight. We learned a lot. And tomorrow? No. Next week.
Next week. Yep.
Tomorrow.
Next week.
Next Monday.
Stuart will be talking about Overwatch. Now, Stuart and David, I know, are both well-versed in this. So, let's
Overwatch has taken years off my life. I'm never going to get those back.
Let's see what they have to say. Stay tuned.
Thanks for watching the Gamers Workshop. Let me run you through the menu. Here's the pause screen. And here's the quit button. Are you sure you want to quit? Okay.